Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my series of looking at AWE past and present, while I was at AWE, I had a chance to go offsite to COSM, which is like the immersive dome. You can think of the sphere, which is like 18,000, 19,000 people that have seats to see this giant dome. Well, COSM is kind of like a mini sphere. It's like more the order of like 1,500 to 1,800 or so. So it's much smaller, which allows them to do a lot more experimental type of content, a lot more narrative content, but they've also been doing more like live sports events. And when I went there last year during the Snap Partner Summit, I saw the Cirque du Soleil O piece, which, you know, it's sort of like capturing a theatrical performance, but it's a lot different than actually being there and seeing the live performance. And so I wanted to really see like a live sports event there, because I feel like that's kind of like a sweet spot for a place like this. They call it shared reality, where you have like people in the similar type of immersive experience together. It feels like you're seeing a VR experience, but you don't have the VR headset. And you're not limited by the limited field of view of 90 to 100 degrees of most VR headsets, in that you have much wider field of view that goes into like almost 180 degrees in some situations, depending on the experience that you're doing. And so while I was in LA, the NBA finals were happening, and I'm from Indianapolis and I'm a huge Pacers fan, or I guess more of a fair weather Pacers fan, but it was super exciting to watch the Pacers go through the NBA finals this year, because they were doing all these like super improbable wins, like coming back and winning when they weren't expected to, basically defying all the odds. They didn't end up winning the series. They lost in the seventh game, but it was an amazing run, and the game three was happening and they were back in Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. And so it was sort of like a pseudo home game, but I was in Los Angeles watching it. And so I wanted to go and check it out. And I got the tickets. You know, the tickets for actually going to the game would be like in the hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. And so you kind of get the best seats from, you know, courtside seats. And then like you end up being like on the end of the court. So you're kind of watching a straight on view rather than from the sidelines. And then there's like a higher up view. So there's like basically four different cameras, four different views. And what I noticed is that they're cutting between those different angles. And whenever they're cutting, it sort of weakened my sense of actually being there. It is very immersive, where it feels like, oh, I feel like I'm at this game. But there are certain things that they'll do the cutting and then like it reminds me, oh yeah, you're in a mediated experience. And then during the intermissions and breaks, they weren't feeding in the audio of what it would sound like to being there. They cut in and play some music and other things. So there's certain things that they were doing in a way that made me feel less present of actually being there. But I think they're trying to, you know, create this kind of hybrid experience, but also focus on, you know, what is it like for you to kind of actually be there with other people. So the way that they have the booths are kind of more like you're sitting in a booth in a way that sometimes you're awkwardly sitting, like not facing the screen, but more facing in a U. And so you kind of have to turn your head or body to see the screen. And so there's like little things like that where, you know, if you're just optimizing for watching the experience, then, you know, you may have made some different design choices, but they're really trying to create this kind of group collective experience. And then afterwards, I had a chance to check out some of their other narrative content. And I caught a double feature of a psychedelic mixtape as well as Liquidverse, which were showing different ways of having more of these artistic or music types of experiences, where it's a little bit different than actually just like watching a 360 video. Again, the full immersion gives a little bit different quality, and you don't have like the depth of field. So you end up kind of having what you would imagine in a VR experience as like something being on a skybox. But if you just imagine like having like double the field of view, then you feel even more immersed into the visuals. And yeah, the Liquidverse was really quite interesting because there was no special effects. It was actually like super close-up of this kind of organic melding types of shapes. And so that was interesting just because you have such a large, huge screen to see and you want to see like novelty or interesting things. And so having these kind of organic shapes and not really using too much computer graphics where you have to kind of design all that novelty, you're getting it for free with doing these kind of organic types of physical based media production, something like Liquidverse. And then the psychedelic mixtape was doing a little bit more of like kaleidoscopic, kind of like putting cameras and lights and mirrors and creating these other types of novel experiences, with both of them very much driven by the music background as well. So it's kind of a very interesting thing that they're doing there with like other arts and entertainment and being a little bit more experimental with what types of independent artists or or pieces that they can try out there. But really, I think the bread and butter for where I think they have like a super compelling use case are these live sports events. And so I had a chance to, during the halftime of the NBA Finals, talk to Ryan Cole, who's the VP of Video Technology. And so he's involved with helping to produce all these different types of live sporting events, from like the Kentucky Derby to WWE to UFC to NBA Finals, Stanley Cup, and they had like the World Series. And so basically like all the different sports and, you know, college football in that season. And so I had a chance just to talk to Ryan about their process of creating and producing some of these live sports events. And the other thing that I didn't get a chance to see, unfortunately, was this kind of immersive translation of the Matrix. And so what they end up doing is creating a 16x9 frame in the middle of the dome. And then in that other part of the dome, they create what's a little bit more of an environmental, like being transported into the room and having other different types of lighting effects that are happening there. And so creating like more of an immersive type of experience to this movie that we all know and love, The Matrix. And you know, having this other value add that has been wildly popular. It seems like people are really, I see a lot of buzz around people seeing it and really being quite impressed and blown away. So that was put together by Little Cinema. And there's an episode on No Proscenium podcast that goes into a little bit more. So I got to see the trailer. The trailer was really cool. And I really wish I had the opportunity to see the whole thing. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out to go back in the middle of the day while I was there at Augmented World Expo, since this was my only field trip into an immersive kind of expedition. So anyway, that's what we're covering on today's episode of Voices of VR Podcast. So this interview with Ryan happened on Wednesday, June 11th, at a site visit to COSM in Los Angeles, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Ryan Cole, and I'm the VP of Video Technology here at COSM. I manage anything from distribution, from capture distribution at our COSM events across the world.
Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
Sure. I have a very broad esports background. So I had 16 years in esports, and it translated very well into this immersive space. I wasn't in immersive to start. And as I started carrying on and started working towards, you know, the immersive content that we're producing right now, I started seeing that there needed to be a shift in some of the mentality and some of the approaches of how we look at the technology to scale it effectively for not just for our domes, but our other partners and other things that we're doing across the ecosystem.
Okay, and so maybe you could tell the story of how you came across COSM and, you know, transitioned into doing what you're doing now.
Sure, awesome. That was an interesting conversation. You know, at the very beginning, Jeb and Devin, our CEO and CTO, actually were very interested in the nature of the esports ecosystem and wanted to see how events were produced at this kind of scale in the capacity for fandom, especially with relation to esports, mainly because fandom is created really globally there, and you could actually create a lot of content around that stuff. And so we had conversations and we kind of grew from there. But as they told me the challenges that they faced ahead and what they wanted to do, I was very intrigued. And again, something I had never done before, but I have a very interested mind towards bleeding edge technology. And so I consistently focused on that to really, you know, lead the charge for what we're doing right now.
So I've had a chance to see the O from Cirque du Soleil, and, you know, I've talked to Neil and Katie about more of the arts and entertainment side, but talk a bit about the sports side and kind of developing this in terms of the what you're streaming, where did you start, and yeah, just love to hear how the live moment of a sports event and bringing that into this dome experience.
Sure. There's a lot that goes into it for sure. What we end up doing to really start is take our technology out to the venues across the world. We have 10 production kits that we send out globally, you know, you name it, across multiple leagues, partnerships that we have. You know, we have kits out in the UK. We're doing the Premier League, you know, when we're up and running for that. But those 10 production kits go out. We have 4 people on site. We have a production manager, 2 camera techs, and an engineer that are out there. So very agile footprint. And then we have a Remy facility back here in Playa Vista at our offices in Playa Vista. And we actually remote into that system and we produce the entire show. And then from there, we actually encode we encode the nature of our content, we send it to the cloud, and we pull it down in our domes.
Okay. And then, so can you talk a bit about, like, what's the approximate resolution? Is it 8K, 16K, and, you know, frame rate in terms of, is it 30 frames per second, 60 frames per second? Yeah, just trying to get a sense of the specs.
Sure. So the dome itself is a 12K resolution. However, the content that we produce, it's 8K 60. So we're actually taking anywhere from 4 to 6 cameras live to our facilities. And what you'll see is you see the cap and canopy that's over it. It kind of fully wraps around you and above you. We put the 8K immersive feed basically in front of you, but we utilize the cap and canopy to do a lot more things in the environment. So you could see during the show, we do triggers and things of that nature where, you know, when the Pacers are, you know, they sink a basket, you know, we can trigger that in the inverse environment as well. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but the resolution itself from the camera to distribution point is 8K60. We're working on making that better as the years come too as well.
And so I feel like watching the NBA Finals Game 3 tonight with the Indiana Pacers, I'm from Indiana, so this is a bit of a special event for me to be able to see this live sports event. And so it feels like with basketball, you have courtside seats, you have something that's a little bit higher, and then you have with the court ends with the two different shots. And there's a bit of like cutting in between those shots, but also, you know, you're having the live broadcast being beamed in terms of the audio that we're getting from them. So I'm noticing, like, you know, sometimes courtside seats, I see somebody who's like kind of blocking, like the coaches are staying there, and it feels like this is actually what it would be like if you're there. And so there's a bit of like sometimes like things being occluded based upon referees or other things staying there, and you kind of have to cut between. So yeah, I'm just wondering if you could kind of talk around the strategy of trying to figure out the optimal viewpoints and then trying to make it so that, you know, and sometimes I just want to see it one view, but then sometimes those views get occluded, and so you're trying to show the best shot. So there's a little bit of a trade-off between like feeling somewhat disoriented with the dome versus like being completely immersed in a singular perspective. So just curious how you kind of navigate those different trade-offs as you're producing these live events.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, and that goes, it's very different for multiple sports, right? The biggest thing for the NBA when you're actually looking at it, the way that you're sitting in the dome and experiencing it, we want to make sure that you're fully immersed in the content. We also want to make sure that you have the best seat in the house no matter what, right? So as we continue moving in that content, we want you to see different aspects of where you would be if we gave you that best seat in the house, right? On top of it, you know, just like you said, the occlusions that are there, we want to make sure that you're not hindered by that, right? If somebody's standing in front of the camera and you can't see the nature of the content, we want to make sure you're changed in the environment. But we also don't want to cut so fast that it's disorienting, right? So we're very methodical about that. It's the same thing as if you were cutting a VR show. So actually, a lot of the technique that we bring into the dome actually kind of originated in some of that transpired from VR production. So, you know, we started building in headset a lot of what we wanted to do, and we knew cut timings were disorienting after a certain period of time, right? And so we wanted to make sure that we were positioning the cameras in the right way to give you the best seat in the house, but also make sure that you feel a part of the atmosphere. And that was really important for us, as well as bringing in the broadcast feed. We're kind of giving you a special pairing of things that you wouldn't normally get in the venue, right? Additionally, we do some additional stuff here at the venue in our domes where we provide different experiences during commercial breaks and things of that nature too. T-shirt cannons, we have MCs and things of that nature as well. And so we want to make sure what we're catering to the experience more than anything else.
Yeah, one question around when there's a break, I noticed that you'll often like play your own custom music over it rather than playing what's happening in the stadium. I'm just curious the decision that you make in terms of taking control over the virtual audio production of that versus creating this feeling of being completely immersed in the place and hearing what you would hear if you were actually there.
Yeah, that plays into whichever sport we're doing. Sometimes it depends on the nature of what we have access to and what's going on in the stadium. Other times it's really creating a different environment, a unique experience to Cosm, right? Not just the nature of the experience that's happening at the venue, but how can we level up here? Like, we also level up food and beverage and everything like that here as well. So we want to make sure we're leveling that experience up. It depends on the event, what we're doing. Sometimes during halftime, you might see the dog on who's playing basketball out on the court, but sometimes we'll do some of our own stuff here as well, like show you some upcoming things here at Cosm and things of that nature. We want to make sure that we're providing the best of both worlds and showcasing what you can experience here just in the NBA game itself, but also what else we can provide here.
Yeah, I saw the Cirque du Soleil piece, and I thought, you know, I want to really check out a live sports event because I really think that this is a sweet spot of Cosm is seeing live sports. And after watching the first half of the NBA Finals Game 3, I can definitely say that there's a different energy. It's very exciting, and it feels like it's a very good fit. The thing I was really surprised that when the courtside perspective, I could actually see the entirety of the court. And if I was in a VR headset, I would only have a 90-degree field of view. So I was actually having like a VR type of experience, but having like an ultra-wide field of view and being able to see the entirety of what I would normally see if I were there. So it feels like it's very immersive and feels like it translates this conceit of live sports and being able to bring it to fans of the teams that may not be there to be able to watch these things. So yeah, just curious to hear some of the reactions that you've had from fans watching these different events.
Definitely. I think one of the biggest things for me and what's really special about Cosm and our venues is we're creating a different type of fandom. I think you still have the fandom from the live venues that you would go to seeing a normal show, but we're bringing people together in their respective cities. We're bringing people from other cities to come in and experience the content too. So the fandom is really leveled up. When you actually can bring people together, we call it shared reality, bringing people together and experiencing both the best of the virtual and the physical world together with leveled up food and beverage and experiences, we feel like we're creating a sense of fandom that you wouldn't get in other places. And we're also bringing people together. We're transporting them to other places around the world that they may never get to in their entire life, right? And that's a really, really unique experience that I don't think you can really translate unless you're here and experience it for yourself, especially in the 180 view, right? So being able to be fully immersed and seeing the entirety of the court makes a big difference than being in VR headsets sometimes.
Yeah, and also being able to watch the crowd and other things that aren't in the normal broadcasts. I'd love to hear a little bit more around like other types of live events that you've been doing here at COSM.
Sure. Yeah, so we do quite a lot live events. And I'll give you a rundown of kind of how we do some of our programming. On any typical day, you'll have 1 to 2 events, live events going on. So imagine those 10 production kits going all around the world. They're constantly moving, constantly moving. So you'll have an NBA. So this week, like for instance, the slate for this week, this last Saturday, we had WWE, Money in the Bank. We had a UFC event. We're doing the Stanley Cup Finals. We're doing the NBA Finals. We're doing the Matrix. We're doing our studio shows. And so we're programming this content to make an experience for many different types of fans in their own respective realms. If you could think of COSM and our dome as a canvas, we want to cater to the experience, but we want to make sure you can get that best of both worlds, the live experiences, the theatricals. And we think it makes a lot of sense to really jump into COSM as a whole. But on the sports side, we're working with the Premier League, we're working with NBC Sports, Fox Sports, CBS Sports, ESPN, you name it, we're constantly going in. And then leagues like the NBA, NFL, UFC, we're constantly focused on delivering on our goals of making, or we're trying to be an extension of the content that you could see in those venues and those sporting venues. But also here at COSM, it's really important for us to continue creating fandom and making sure that people can get the best-in-class content right here in their home city if they want to.
Do you think that there's any one sport that translates particularly well to COSM, or do you feel like that the technology is kind of generalized enough so that it's basically the perspective of any fan at any sort of sport? So I'm just curious to hear some of your thoughts.
Yeah, I actually think it's actually more generalized, like you mentioned, mainly because you can create fandom out of certain sports that you haven't seen before. For instance, for me, I had never been a UFC fan, but when I watched it in the dome and the over-the-cage view and actually feeling like you're in the cage with the players, like the athletes, you have a different experience that you can't get anywhere, not even at the stadium, right? And so for me, that was a visceral moment, right? And so there are a lot of fans in different aspects of sports that want to see a specific angle or want to feel like they're a part of something or can't get courtside there, right? Some of those seats are very expensive seats, depending on the nature of, you know, the event and the type of event they're going to. But on top of it, you know, I feel like it's more generalized towards what the experience is for a specific fan, right? And I think we're creating more fans for different content as well. And I think you're going to start seeing that a little bit more as people catch more on to a lot of the content that we're producing. Our fan experience is bar none some of the best. We get some of the greatest reactions for things that people have never seen before, but also different sporting events that they have never been to before and come back frequently. Like, for instance, we did the Kentucky Derby. That was a major hit, you know, and these are things that, you know, I wouldn't have expected us to put on our dome, but we did and sold out and a great experience, right? And so we're trying to consistently think about new entertaining concepts that could potentially be brought to COSM as an extension of an experience somewhere else.
So you're also showing a shared reality version of the Matrix. So I'm just curious if you could say a few words around what that experience is like in terms of taking what is normally a 2D film, but then using the dome to kind of fill in the gaps for creating these contextual kind of world building that's happening to give you extra flavor for watching the film.
So that's a good one. And the reason it's a good one is because I had never seen the Matrix before seeing it at COSM. And that is insane, right? A lot of people would be like, what? Even internal folks are like, what? Even went to a point where when we were testing content, I made sure that I wasn't here because I wanted to experience it for the first time here at COSM. And what I could tell you about the experience is we don't manipulate anything in that 16:9, so to speak, of the traditional experience, right? But what we do is level up the immersivity around things that are happening in the environment, the action. You know, there's some small, subtle things that will happen that will transpire that will make you feel like you're a part of the elements in the movie. And then also, like, there will be some really intense moments that will be leveled up even more based on what we've been able to do and accomplish with our partners at Warner Brothers and Little Cinema to do these things. It's been an incredible experience for me personally, and I'm actually going to be watching again very soon. So I would say we are leveling up the experience for that, and I think it's a transformative nature of immersive experiences, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that come to fruition for us, mainly because we think it provides a really interesting experience to level up some of the small things and the big things that come with those movies, and just, you know, 25 years worth of content that's there for The Matrix specifically, just the same movie over and over and over again, but doing it in a different way, in a different light, is a very interesting thing to do. And I never thought we would do it to start. Once I saw it, crazy, right? These are things like, as we continue living on the bleeding edge, we're focused on what can we do next that'll level that up even more, right? And so these are very interesting experiences for me, even in particular, but for our fans as well.
Great. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential of all these immersive technologies and shared reality might be, and what it might be able to enable?
I think it's going to enable a lot more people to experience content together. And when you think about experiences at home when you're watching things on TV and the couch, we say couch to cosm in a lot of different ways, mainly because we want to make sure that people are being able to experience content with friends and family, but also like-minded fans in that experience. And I think VR, AR, XR, COSM, you name it, shared reality, you name it, it's about bringing fans together. And I really think that that's going to change the future of how we consume content and really experience it with other people around us that are like-minded in this space.
Anything else left unsaid you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
Keep doing work in the immersive community. At the end of the day, we're always living on the bleeding edge here at COSM, and those that are consistently focused on living on the bleeding edge will consistently win and consistently keep climbing and create better experiences for people out there that, you know, that are transforming the way that we consume content.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining me here in the podcast. And I have to say that coming to a live sports event is incredibly awe-inspiring and immersive. And, you know, I think if the Pacers end up winning, or even if they don't end up winning, it's certainly one of my peak sporting fan experiences that I've had in my life. So just really appreciate coming here and seeing this intersection between the immersive media and live sports, and what you've been able to create here is, like, really special. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and thanks for coming. We're glad you're here.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a supportive podcast. And so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.